Internal warehouse design and capacity forecasting. Internal warehouse design starts with the end in mind by determining requirements related to warehouse activities and desired inventory flows. Advances in information technology and warehouse equipment have made intelligent, efficient storage and retrieval much easier, and warehouse designs also take the desired level of investment in such capabilities into account. A requirement might be for the fastest moving products or parts to be the most easily accessible, while the slow movers can be parked out of the way. In terms of inventory flows, some organizations will want to store different goods for different periods of time, while others want to keep inventory in motion, such as by using cross-docking. Storage locations themselves are designed to maximize efficiency and the effective use of space. Warehouse space involves a large capital investment for an organization, so it must be arranged to maximize the amount of storage while leaving sufficient space for equipment movement and other warehouse activities, such as receiving, cross-docking, order picking, assembly, packaging, and staging. Warehouse layout. Exhibit 5-5 shows the basic layout of a warehouse. Exhibit 5-5. Basic warehouse layout. Warehouses are generally designed as one-floor systems. Rack storage maximizes the cubic space of the warehouse, called cube utilization, by storing items on vertical racks. The maximum height is determined by the equipment used to place and pick pallets or other inventory, or by existing warehouse height limitations. Filling an entire warehouse with single selective racks, multi-story racks that are one pallet with deep on each side of an aisle, might maximize the amount of this type of inventory that can be stored, but the workflow areas will be congested and overall throughput could be abysmal. A velocity analysis can be performed to optimize warehouse flow. The ideal system has 100% accessibility, meaning that all inventory can be accessed without having to first move some other inventory. Note how cross-docking involves moving freight directly from receiving to outgoing shipping in the graphic. Deliveries often need to be reconfigured in the staging area to new assortments, such as each retail store being sent a variety of goods from various manufacturers. Also, while cross-docking could be one service a warehouse offers, other facilities do cross-docking exclusively. The design maximizes dock space and minimizes internal material movement distances. Once a layout that optimizes velocity and cube utilization is determined, the next concern is to organize stock locations. Stock location. To perform the inbound receiving process, warehouse personnel need to know what the inventory is and where best to take it. Rack storage, bulk storage, outgoing dock, break bulk, sorting, packaging, and so forth, even if the organization has millions of SKUs, stock keeping units, as is the case for many large businesses. For the order picking and filling process, warehouse personnel need to know exactly where the required items are stored, in which order to pick the items, and the route to take. Stock location involves deciding where to store specific inventory in a warehouse. The idea is to optimize storage based on the organization's prioritization of speed of access or cube utilization. Here are some stock location methods. Using random location storage. As defined in the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary, random location storage is a storage technique in which parts are placed in any space that is empty when they arrive at the storeroom. Although this random method requires the use of a locator record to identify part locations, it often requires less storage space than a fixed location storage method. SINS, floating inventory location system, floating storage location. C, fixed location storage. Random location storage is also called floating inventory location. This method maximizes cube utilization and can be rapid if the organization uses warehouse automation systems, such as directed pick and put away. Using fixed location storage. Fixed location storage is defined in the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary as a method of storage in which a relatively permanent location is assigned for the storage of each item in a storeroom or warehouse. More space may be needed to store parts than in a random location storage system, but fixed locations become familiar to warehouse personnel. C. Random location storage. This method may be acceptable for warehouses that do not need dense cube utilization because space is not at a premium, throughput is low, or there are not many SKUs. It is also often used for relatively slow-moving items like spare parts or for situations where order pickers do not get a picking list. For example, there are relatively few items in inventory. Using IBC classification. Inventory can be grouped by its IBC classification and could use secure, fast-moving storage areas. Grouping functionally related items together. Items can be grouped by their use. For example, all modular components for the same product family, all kitchen appliances, or all hardware. A related storage type is called point-of-use storage, which has special assembly staging areas and nearby inventory storage. Grouping high-velocity items together, items that arrive and leave quickly, but not quickly enough for cross-docking, can be placed in locations near the outbound staging area. Grouping items by similar physical characteristics. Hazardous materials need to be stored in an area with strict security measures. Frozen or refrigerated items are stored together. Bulky or odd-shaped items, such as couches, can also be stored together, grouping reserve stock separately. Reserve stock can include bulk storage of items when working stock is considered a partial pallet for picking, or it can refer to defective or obsolete items and returns. Reserve stock can be stored out of the way. The working stock can be replenished from the reserve stock. Warehouse capacity forecasting and planning. Warehouse capacity forecasting and planning is a must before building or leasing warehouse space, because the warehouse will need sufficient capacity for the next 3 to 5 years. Changes to warehouse capacity in a shorter time frame tend not to be cost-effective due to building and/or setup expenses, lease negotiations, and so on. Capacity forecasting is a function of inventory levels in the aggregate. Individual inventories will vary between a minimum, equal to safety stock, and maximum level. We are looking for the most common inventory level, an average, called the MODE. The MODE, most common level, will be approximately halfway between the safety stock level and the maximum level. For the rest of the discussion in this area, interpret average as meaning the MODE. While calculating warehouse size using forecasted average inventory may not seem to leave enough room for maximum inventory, when random location assignment is used, the inventory that is currently at a maximum level will balance inventory that is currently at a minimum level. If, instead, fixed warehouse locations are assigned to specific items, the size of the warehouse would need to be the sum of all maximum space per item. The warehouse will frequently have a large amount of unused space. Warehouse capacity is therefore typically forecasted as this average inventory level. A few items need to be considered before calculating the forecasted average inventory level. Averages must first be calculated for each type of unit. Various units can be aggregated based on their storage requirements. Items of like size can be aggregated because it is the total cubic meters or feet used that needs to be calculated. Some average warehouse space requirements may need to be calculated. Often, the number of items that fit on a pallet within a storage bay, including a calculation of how high the pallet can be stacked, could be estimated. The pallet size could be used for its cubic volume requirement. In practice, this analysis is often simplified from cubic meter/feet requirements to the number of pallet storage bays needed to house the forecasted average aggregate inventory. Many organizations and industries standardize their pallet size to allow all pallets to fit in any storage bay. For our calculations, each pallet would then be one unit. Some compensation is often added for pallets that are used for individual items rather than shipped as whole pallets. A pallet that can store 18 boxes, but holds only one box, at present still takes up an entire storage bay. Any bulk storage capacity requirements would be calculated separately. For each year of the 3 to 5 year warehouse space requirements, a forecast must be calculated. The year with the highest capacity requirement will indicate the overall warehouse capacity requirement, expressed in cubic meters or feet or in storage bays. As an example, let's say that the sum of all forecasted average inventories for an organization takes up 18,000 cubic meters, M3, in the highest forecasted year of a 5-year plan. All inventory fits on a standard size pallet that, when full, is 1.2 meters deep times 1.0 meters wide times 1.5 meters tall equals 1.8 meters 3. Calculating the need for storage bays divides the space requirement by the standard pallet cubic space. 18,000 meters, 3/1.8 meters, 3 equals 10,000 storage bays. The organization multiplies this by a factor of 1.1 to account for partially filled pallets. This factor is based on historical analysis of existing warehouse usage. Then 10,000 times 1.1 equals 11,000 storage bays needed. After determining the requirements for the inventory, the calculation is adjusted to account for other space requirements. When storage bays are used, the process might work as follows. Determine the raw space footprint. Multiply the number of needed bays by the square meters used per pallet, vertical storage, and thus cubic space utilization is accounted for in a later step. This results in a square meter, M2, space requirement for just the inventory. Finding the square meters or feet requirement is useful because real estate is sold or leased using this unit of measure. To continue the prior example, 11,000 storage base times 1.2 meters 2 of floor space, 1.2 meters deep times 1.0 meters wide, equals 13,200 meters 2 of floor space needed just for inventory. Factor in space for all inventory movements. Multiply this result by a factor that is greater than 1 to account for space around inventory in each storage bay, all space, handling equipment space, and space for picking, sorting, consolidating, and so on. This is typically at least a multiplier of 3. Organizations can analyze existing warehouses that use the same types of warehouse equipment to determine the right factor to use. In this example, the factor is 3. So the calculation is 13,200 meters 2 times 3 equals 39,600 meters 2. Account for vertical space utilization. Determine how many levels of vertical storage will exist for pallet storage bays. For example, if there will be 4 levels of vertical storage for all bays, then the raw space footprint could be divided by 4. For example, ground storage plus pallet racks that are 3 levels high. In this example, there are 4 levels. So the calculation is 39,600 meters 2 slash 4 equals 9,900 meters 2. Add space for expansion or excess capacity. Divide by a factor for the target utilization of the warehouse. This is a way of building an excess capacity. For example, if the target utilization rate is 80%, then the warehouse floor space would be divided by this percentage to find the total necessary space. In essence, this warehouse would be only 80% full under the current forecasts. This utilization rate would be set by organizational policy based on strategic and risk analyses. Since the rate here is 80%, the calculation is 9,900 meters 2 slash 0.8 equals 12,375 meters 2. This much land could be leased or purchased to build a new warehouse, or an existing warehouse of this size, and sufficient vertical height for the racks could be leased or purchased. Note that there are many ways of determining warehouse space capacity requirements. Organizations that use fixed location storage, for example, may use maximum inventory requirements rather than average inventory requirements so as not to run out of space when orders arrive. Additionally, the space requirement could be divided among several distribution centers. If this is the case, the volume of goods to be stored in each warehouse would be divided first, and then the remaining adjustments would proceed separately. This would result in a larger total space requirement because each warehouse would need its own functional areas for goods handling.